Welcome again to our study in the book of Daniel. We now come to chapter 9, which is a very exciting and thrilling chapter. It starts, if I could say this, with Daniel meditating upon the scrolls of Jeremiah, in which Jeremiah prophesied that for 70 years, Israel would be in Babylonian captivity. And now, he is in the first year of Darius the Mede, and he knows that only a year or two now are left before the 70 years of the prophecy of Jeremiah is fulfilled. Let me explain this, if I may. Jeremiah was in Jerusalem, and Jeremiah prophesied in a very significant fashion that indeed Jerusalem would be destroyed, the temple would be destroyed, and Israel, or Judah, would go into captivity in Babylon for 70 years. There were three captivities. The first one was in 606, when indeed Nebuchadnezzar came against Jerusalem and took away some captives. There's another in the time of Jehoiachin, and the final one when Jerusalem was destroyed was in 586. B.C., when Zedekiah was the king. But the captivity starts from 606 B.C. And now we are in 538 B.C. and only about two more years before the 70 will be completed. And now Daniel's understanding this prophecy. And so, he's crying out to God and realizing it's because of the sins of God's people that they are in Babylonian captivity. Now, as he is seeking God and crying out and confessing the sins of Israel, and how just God is, and how, in fact, God prophesied through Moses that indeed he would bring up a fierce nation against his people because of their sinfulness, and they would overrun them, and they would take them into captivity and scatter them through their empire. And Daniel recognizes this, that God had warned Israel before they even entered the land. On the plains of Moab, when Moses gave the reading of the second time for the law, which is the book of Deuteronomy, and warned Israel that when they got into the land, they would rebel against God and God would take them away. And Daniel's saying, yes, God, everything you said has come to pass. But now there is hope. And perhaps in 2 years now, there will be a decree given, not by Darius, but by Cyrus, that Jerusalem shall be inhabited and that the temple shall be rebuilt. But as he is praying and confessing the sins of his people, God now sends forth the archangel Gabriel, who speaks of Daniel in very intimate terms as one who is greatly beloved. And he now speaks not of a period of 70 years, but a period of 70 weeks. And with this in mind, I'd like to pick up the narrative in chapter 9 of Daniel and start reading with you. In verse 20, "And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin, the sin of my people, and presenting my supplication before God," in verse 21, "yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel," the man meaning the archangel Gabriel, because after all, angels do look like us, and those of you who have seen them know that sometimes they have their wings, sometimes they don't. And when I had seen in vision at the beginning, I then heard what he said, and he informed me and talked with me and said, "Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding." And so the things that are going to come to pass should be understood. If Daniel is visited by the archangel Gabriel, who says, "I am come to give you skill and understanding," then it is clear that we should understand the things that Gabriel is going to say. And so, he also brings out the thought in verse 23, "At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art a man greatly beloved." Here's a truth that I think is very encouraging. As soon as Daniel cried out to God, God heard him, and God gave the commandment to Gabriel to come. You know, when we pray, God hears, and God answers. And we've just got to persist until that answer comes through. All right. Now, he speaks not of the 70 years, but of 70 weeks that are determined upon thy people. And this is important because the prophecies that follow in, if I could say this, the rest of this chapter, 10, 11, and 12, relate to God's dealings with Israel. And he said, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. So it relates to Israel as a nation. And also upon the holy city. And the holy city in Scripture is always Jerusalem. And it is indeed to finish the transgressions. Now, all that is going to follow has as its ultimate purpose to finish transgressions in Israel. Israel, as we look at her, was a nation that was greatly blessed by God. They had marvelous experiences. They saw the plagues upon Egypt. They had a great deliverance coming across the Red Sea. They saw God in his awesome power on Mount Sinai. They saw God separate the waters in Jordan. And they saw miracle after miracle. And God gave them his law. And he said, in the keeping of it, you will be a wise people. And all the nations around will say, is there a wise nation like the people of Israel? But Israel, in spite of the fact that God gave them prophets, gave them a godly king like David, they rebelled against God. And their rebellion, you know, didn't just cease with, if I could say this, the Babylonian captivity. But Israel has always rebelled against God, even to the extent of crucifying the Messiah. And so, these prophecies concern God's judgments and God's dealings upon Israel, so that Israel, in the end time, when Christ returns, might be a righteous nation, and that they will hold out their hands to Him and receive Him as their Savior. And then, 1,000 years, Christ shall reign upon earth from Jerusalem, and the Jews shall be looked upon as the priests and ministers of God. But we are in the epoch of history now, in Daniel, when the Persian Empire has just started to emerge and has taken Babylon, and now the archangel is speaking of 70 years, or 70 weeks, having upon 70 weeks. 70 years, and then he finished, now 70 weeks. And 70 weeks actually means time is a period of 490 years. And so, as we continue in our narrative, we see that the purpose of these 70 weeks is to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness. God has to pass Israel through times of great trouble in order that their hard and rebellious hearts will turn unto Him, and that they will receive the Messiah when He comes. And the purpose is to fulfill God's desires for His nation, that they will be a righteous nation in the midst of whom Christ can reign. All right. So therefore, returning to our narrative, in verse 25, he said, "Know therefore and understand." So if he says, "Know therefore and understand," we should know and we should understand. All right. That from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And the street shall be built again, even the wall in troublesome times. All right, we have to locate a time in history where a commandment was given for the rebuilding of the wall. And as again, we have, if I could say this, the blessing of being able to live in a time when all these things have been fulfilled. And so, we know from history that in 457 BC, in the 7th year of Artaxerxes' reign, a commandment was given to rebuild Jerusalem. The rebuilding of the temple was ordained by Cyrus in the first year of 535 BC. But to rebuild Jerusalem, that commandment was given by a later Persian king, Artaxerxes, in the 7th year of his reign, which was 457 BC. That commandment was given. Now then, let us see how these 70 weeks are divided. And we find this, that in verse 25, they're divided in, if I can say this, a peculiar fashion. They're divided into first 7 weeks, 49 years. And those first 49 years were times of great trouble for Israel, conflict and so forth. And then afterwards, another period is given of 62 weeks. Now, 62, as we have mentioned before in our study, is mentioned three times, or alluded to three times in Scripture. First of all, we have Darius, who we are told was 62 years of age when he took the kingdom. And we understand from that 62 then becomes a time, if I could say this, alluding to the coming of Messiah. Because Darius, after all, is a type of the Messiah coming the second time after the fall of Babylon. But as we study Matthew chapter 1, the genealogies, he gives a series of three time periods of 14 generations, which, according to my mathematics, would be 42. From Abraham to Christ. And then we know that there were an additional two periods of 10 generations. Adam to Noah, Noah to Abraham. And therefore, if we count up all these generations from Adam to Christ, in Matthew chapter 1, we come to 62. So 62 is a number, and that 62 comprises 434 years. Well, the total of 70 weeks, or 70 times 7 is 490. But we're told that 7 plus 62 are the number until Christ. Well, that's 483 years. And so, from 457 BC, adding 483 years, we come to 26 AD. We come to 26 AD, which was the year in which Christ was presented to Israel. Well, how do we arrive at 26 AD? Well, we know how we arrive at 26 AD by that simple mathematical calculation. But how do we know that 26 AD was the time when Christ appeared in Jordan? Well, Luke helps us out here, and he speaks concerning the 15th year of Tiberius. He speaks of Jesus being about 30 years of age in the 15th year of Tiberius. Luke, being a medical doctor, wrote with extraordinary exactitude. Well, we have a problem, first of all, in that the previous Caesar was indeed Octavius Augustus Caesar, who reigned from 27 BC to 14 AD. And if we added 15 to 14, that would make it 29. But there's something that we have to understand with many of those kings of old, and certainly with some of the Caesars, that near the end of their reign, and I think Octavius Augustus Caesar, if I remember correctly, was about 76, wasn't he, when he died? But near the end of his reign, about 3 years before, he designated Tiberius as his successor. And Tiberius, in actuality, became the co-regent. And so, the beginning of his reign is reckoned not from the death of Octavius Augustus Caesar, but rather from the beginning of his co-regency. And his co-regency began in 11 AD, and so the 15th year of his reign would make it exactly 26. And then also we know that Herod the Great died in 4 BC, and Christ had to have been born a bit before that. And so, remembering there's no year zero, we come again to 26 AD. Now, it continues. And we now come to the thought, in verse 26, that after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And that speaks of the crucifixion of Christ. And then, continuing, we find concerning the last week of 7 years, in verse 27, that just prior to that, in verse 26, it says, the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Well, who destroyed Jerusalem after Christ and the temple? It was the Roman Empire. And the people of the prince that shall come. You remember we talked a lot about the old Roman Empire that shall come again, and the 10 kings, and the little horn that shall come up, the 11th one, who shall be the Antichrist, coming up out of the old Roman Empire. And here we have, again, the confirmation of that. The people of the prince that shall come. The people were Romans, and they will be the people of the prince that shall come, because he'll come out of the old Roman Empire. Well, in verse 27, we read, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So the last 7 years will start when the Antichrist, this king, this prince, shall make a covenant with the Jews. Because you must remember, everything is relative to Israel. The whole purpose of these 70 years is to bring in everlasting righteousness to Israel. And so, the Antichrist will indeed make a covenant for 7 years with many. But then, in the midst of this week, which would be 3.5 years, which is in the midst, the middle of that last week, last 7 years, 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Now, this brings up another interesting point that we shall discuss in perhaps more detail when we come to chapter 11. But the point that I want to bring out here is this, that in order for him to cause to cease the sacrifice, then the sacrifices must return to Jerusalem, and the temple must be built again. And so, we find that he causes the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And then, we find that, while I'm using the King James, I sometimes use the NIV because I think sometimes it brings out things more clearly and sometimes it confuses the things. Essentially, the NIV brings out this, that in the end, if I could say this, that in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and he shall make it desolate. But the NIV brings it out a little different. He shall confirm a covenant for many for 1:7. In the middle of the 7, he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of the temple, he shall cause or set up an abomination that causes desolation. And so, essentially what he'll do, he'll put an image on the end or the wing of the temple, and it's spoken of by Christ as being in the holy place. And then, at that time, we find that desolation shall come. In other words, the great tribulation. And so, summing up chapter 9, we have such comfort. The 70 years prophesied by Jeremiah have now come to an end. 70 weeks of 490 years are instituted, 483 to the coming of Jesus to the River Jordan. And then the last 7 years start with the covenant of the Antichrist. And then afterwards, he breaks the covenant in the middle of the week through causing the sacrifices to cease, setting up an image to himself, and then comes great tribulation. And so, beloved, it's all there for our comfort and our consolation. May God give us understanding of these things. God bless you.
This series has been presented by Zion Fellowship of Waverly, New York. The teachings you just heard by Dr. Bailey are based on his book on the prophet Daniel, which is available in both English and Spanish. To those of you who are interested in becoming a partner with us, or in studying more on the End Time Trilogy, or to receive a video of today's teachings, you may contact us at the number shown on your screen. Remember today that God loves you and He wants you to succeed. It is God's Word that gives us abundant life. Go today in the peace and joy of our Lord Jesus Christ.